Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. From co-directors Elisa Levine and Gabriel Miller, Sweetheart Deal tells the story of four sex workers caught in the spiral of addiction who turn to a self-proclaimed healer offering friendship and a path to salvation from the mean streets of Aurora, Washington. While the film is about these four women dealing with, as we said, addiction and trauma and real danger, it's also about a lot more. It's about women and people who demonstrate a level of resilience and fortitude that is hard to imagine. Again, the film is called Sweetheart Deal, and we're joined today by the co-director, Elisa Levine. Elisa, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate the level of commitment that this film took. It looks like it was a very difficult shoot for a lot of reasons, not only remaining sort of in the background of all the things that are going on in these four women's lives, but also just access, the weather. I mean, there was a lot of things going on here. But what put you on to doing Sweetheart Deal? What was the inspiration for it?
I think that the initial inspiration was probably, I usually mention the film Streetwise because years before I even moved to Seattle, I saw Streetwise, which is, you know, 1984 homeless kids on the streets of Seattle. And it was shot by Mary Ellen Mark, was the photographer who originated it. And then her husband was involved with the production. And so it was that style. It was this verite filmmaking style, which is Streetwise is, by the way, I think just is available on Criterion now. So it wasn't available for a long time. But it was that kind of impact that I was interested in going for without even knowing what the story was going to be. But I was, that film had such a huge impact on me and also on Gabriel because of how challenging the subject matter is, but also how it was shot and how there's, you know, no narration. You don't feel the hand of the director. You're completely immersed as if you're within a narrative film. And so that really was the initial inspiration, I think. And when we went into the world of what ended up becoming Sweetheart Deal, we really didn't know what we were getting into. Just had a rough sense of, you know, kind of an interest in what was kind of going on behind the scenes on Aurora Avenue, because I knew there was a lot going on, but you couldn't necessarily see it all on the surface. And we ended up really finding out in just covering this tiny one story, just one microcosm of people. That's only one story on Aurora. So it's just kind of incredible what ended up happening and what we uncovered.
It's always amazing to me when I talk to filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, in terms of their commitment, their instincts, following their instincts. You had to at some point feel like this is a story. These are the people that we can make into something special in terms of their stories and how we can all relate to them on some level. But these are not welcoming circumstances. These women walk the streets of Aurora for money. For to survive, really. They're dealing with serious drug addictions. And on top of it, there is a danger. And as we see at the very beginning of the film, I believe it was, I think I have this right, Amy was.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And you kind of introduce us fairly early into the film just how completely dangerous and unpredictable this world is. I don't know if the question is, you know, wow, how do you know how to do this? And what did you have that instinct that says this is the stories we want to focus on? I mean, how did that play out?
We really got to know a bunch of people over time. And then these were the four women that we ended up becoming the central focus, but we focused on them more than anyone else. And they also had an interest in being part of the project. So even logistically, it was often very hard to track them down. because people wouldn't necessarily have phones, or they would lose their phones and they would lose all their stuff. And, then we would have to find them again. And it ended up being that everyone knew each other through this guy, Elliot, that you
Yes.
meet in the film. And so he's the central, location. He's providing kind of at the beginning, he's providing the central location. And that's when we walked into the story. He had been doing this for over 10 years, and he had been putting forward his RV as like kind of like not exactly a safe house, but it was like a place where people could drop in, hang out, get something to eat. They could even, for women who are still, who are in addiction, they could even use in there. The way he put it to us, he's like, he had this harm reduction kind of philosophy. It's like relapse is part of recovery. And if and when these women are ready, I am prepared to drop everything and help nurse them through the process of kicking heroin. And so he was putting himself forward as like this friend who was going to be there for them. And it was also just, yeah, his space, that he had this space where people would cycle through. Many people cycle through, not just women, but guys would come by and play guitar in there. And it was this very cramped space, but it didn't feel scary in there or anything to us. It just, logistically, it was a little bit challenging with trying to film, though.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, the vibe that you get from, at least in the beginning of the film, is that he's streetwise. He understands kind of the dynamic of these people's lives. These are, they are in a situation that's pretty hellish, but he's at least apparently offering them some respite from just the day-to-day grind of going out and doing what they need to do to make money. And so he's a c complicated figure, at least initially. That's how he appears. And he's pretty upfront about, in some ways, he's trading his van or his RV for sexual reasons. I mean, he's isn't I mean he makes that clear that he's having sex with these women. Is that am I being accurate? Is
Well,
that
he wouldn't, I know from like the way he presented it to us, he wouldn't have put it that way. He would have put it like, I have a lot of girlfriends,
There you
and
go.
I have a lot of relationships. I have relationships with most of these people, and like they love me, like people love coming to me, but I never pressure anyone into doing anything they don't want to do. And it's not like I won't help them if they are not interested in my Don Juan, abilities and everything like that. So he was very, like loose and casual about the way he talked about that. And we didn't know right off the bat that there was some kind of whatever you want to call it, relationships going on. But he would have never, the way he was presenting it to us, he would have never called it an exchange or anything like that. It was always like, I am this good guy, and I help people regardless, but if they want to indulge in, having the with me, that's fine. But I presented a lot of this with very light and with humor, and it
Well,
was masterful if you think about it, but yeah.
the conversation he has with that reporter fairly early in the film seemed to kind of lay out that he's not a Boy Scout, and he was, I think, bragging about some things about himself, and just kind of the vibe was at that point. I mean, this is a world in which it's kind of what you might expect from people who are in this part of society. And I do want to shift focus here, because the women that we get to meet and get to know, Christine, Tammy, Krista, and Sarah, and how we get to know them in terms of moving beyond what they do in sort of their lives day to day, to get to know their families, get to know their backstory, which is a very important part of the film. It gives the film tremendous context. That took a lot of courage on their part, and for your ability to be able to access the parents and other people in their lives. Tell me a little bit about that process for you and for them as well.
In the course of the film, we do get to meet Tammy's parents. We really developed these very close bonds with the women, and beyond, you know, we first met them at Elliott's, but then beyond that, we developed this these relationships, and then they invited us into different parts of their lives. We were often there, you know, if they were in the hospital, we were there. Something I should mention is that because when before going into this, I didn't really know how to get Verite footage, but something really important for doing a long form project like this, where you're working with a lot of people and sensitive issues and everything, and is that so much of the time that we spent building trust and building the relationships was without a camera. And them just showing that we were, you know, us showing that we were going to show up for them, and them really, you know, us getting to know them, but them also getting to know us and feel comfortable around us, because we knew that we, filming wise, we were doing some interview for VO and everything, but we really wanted to move into this mode of we're invisible and we're going to be over here filming. They were always aware that we were there, of course, but we wanted to get them relaxed enough where we could really see what was happening in the course of their day and in their lives without, you know, going into this verite mode, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Again, it's critically important to the success of the film to get to know them as these multidimensional people and what they've been through and their backgrounds and the people in their lives. Just before we go any further, I just want to make sure people understand we're talking to the one of the co-directors of a terrific documentary film called Sweetheart Deal. It's being released through Abramarama. It is premiering this Friday, September 13th in New York. It will also be premiering in a couple of weeks in Seattle, appropriately in Seattle, and then finally premiering here in Los Angeles on October 18th. So be looking for it wherever you are, but it'll be at the Village East Angelica Theater in New York on the 13th. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
The film is Sweetheart Deal, and I want to take a moment to talk about your co-director, Gabriel Miller, who is no longer with us. He was also director of photography. Tremendous, I'm sure, loss for you and the partnership that you both shared in making this film and others in terms of that. And also, that part of this has obviously been a very emotionally fraught, you know, period of time in your life, going this commitment to the film and then losing a close friend. What it, just in terms of just if you, whatever you want to share with us in terms of just as your dedication to your craft as a filmmaker, but as a person, this talk about, if you want to talk about just what this has been like for you, what have you taken away from this experience? Because I can't help watching the film, can't help but think this was tough. This was a tough shoot. This was a lot of things about this were difficult and emotionally involving. So to the extent you want to talk about that.
And do you mean in relation to just in general
just
or?
In general, I mean, your feelings, getting to know these women, watch what they go through, watch obviously the dire consequences that some of them suffer going through this. This had to be a very, very emotional experience for you.
I mean, it's been an incredible experience. It's also been just like you're saying, exactly, traumatic in some ways. I tell people that when you go and wish for a good documentary subject to come your way and you go down the rabbit hole, be careful what you wish for, because you don't necessarily know what you're going to walk into, whether or not you're going to be able to handle it emotionally. I've gone through a divorce since this thing has started. It's been, you know, I have two single mom of two kids and everything. And it's been a very, very challenging process and everything. But I think about the women of the film every single day. You know, one of them is no longer with us. And I think about they've become a part of my soul, you know, and even seeing how much Krista has accomplished, and formerly known as Amy. I have, you know, I talk about imposter syndrome, and I look, you know, whenever I start doubting myself and just kind of like, shut up, look at everything she's been through and look at how far she's come. And she doesn't give up and she doesn't take no for an answer now in her life, where she's, you know, she's actually working as a graphic designer now. And if you see her, you know, where she is in the beginning of the film, it's shocking. I'm like, can I get a job? You know? So I kind of want people to leave with that. I want people to really look love the women the way that we did, and then really connect and see themselves in these women. And so it's been one of the most important things of my life, this film, and continues to be.
Yeah. Well, you have the release with Abramarama. It'll be in theaters. It is a beautiful film on the cinematically speaking. What we see in these people's lives is real, and it's affecting, and it's you just can't watch this and not understand how vulnerable women are in a good day. When you see it, when in the kind of life that they're living, how exposed they are, and how little resources there are available to protect them from real harm in this. And there's a lot here in the film, and I my congratulations. Go ahead, you were gonna say.
I was just gonna say, but also, you know, I'd like people to ultimately take away how hard they're fighting and how strong how strong you have to be to continue to do that every single day.
Yeah, no, all of that. Thank you for saying that. All of that comes through. And again, congratulations on Sweetheart Deal. Congratulations on the work. I certainly hope you're working on more, and we'll continue to follow your instincts as a filmmaker, because it's a terrific piece of work. And so thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Once again, the film is called Sweetheart Deal, and we've been speaking with one of the co-directors, and that would be Elisa Levine, along with Gabriel Miller. And once again, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.